want to chew on that for a second, what Greg McElroy said about Cam Ward at Miami being the most impactful transfer this year. It's not far-fetched, Dan, when you think about how inconsistencies from quarterback play cost Miami probably at least a game last year when you think about all the interceptions. And then you look at what Ward did the past 2 years at Washington State. Also did some pretty incredible things at FCS Incarnate Word to start his career. But last year coming out of Wazoo, Cam Ward was eighth in the country in passing yards and was actually playing behind one of the worst offensive lines in the country with the Cougars. That's going to get a lot better in Miami. And Ward throws for 3,735 yards last year, 25 touchdowns. And, you know, another thing that makes Ward so impactful is his improvisation and his ability to extend plays and make something out of nothing, because that's, you know, and again, I don't want to make this a rag on Tyler Van Dyke session, but Ward just gives you more options. He gives you a higher ceiling at the quarterback position, and he's got a lot of talent around him at Miami, Dan. When you think about the most statistically proven receiving core in the ACC, you've got a good running back room, probably a great running back room since he added Damian Martinez this year. Yeah. It'll be the best offensive line that Ward has played behind, because he didn't have that blessing at his last two stops in college football. And, you know, and the other thing about Ward is he's very hands-on when it comes to collaborating with his coaches, and they respect his input on, you know, the types of plays he likes to run. And I think they're going to give him quite a bit of autonomy at the quarterback position, which is going to be another reason why he can add some extra impact. This is a big-time player, folks, and I don't expect him to let us down this year either, because so far from what I've seen in Ward since he arrived at Miami in January, with his work ethic and with how well he practices, he's actually exceeded my expectation. But I say that all knowing he hasn't actually put, you know, a Miami game day uniform on yet. We're not going to see that for another 8 days.
Yeah, and to add on to what you're saying, why you should probably believe in Cam Ward once again, since he hasn't played a game as a Miami Hurricane, but why you should have hope and you should believe. I was watching some of his highlights earlier, and you said it right. He has some improvisational skills. I don't want to say he looks like, but I'm going to say he has shades of Patrick Mahomes. I'm seeing him throw some sidearms, some kind of different angles, throwing around guys. It looked really cool. Another thing is that really impressed me was an interview you actually did with him on the Locked On Canes podcast, where he's basically spending half the interview just naming his linemen. First and last names. He knows everybody.
He loves those dudes.
But, I mean, like, that's something, and, you know, I say, like, what does that matter? To me, that does matter. Some people say, oh, it doesn't really matter. Well, I've been around programs where the quarterback doesn't know anybody from anybody, and it is toxic for the team. When you got a guy like Cam Ward, who, like I said, in an interview with you, went out of his way to name every single lineman that he knew, and every single lineman from starter to backup, and, you know, knew who they were. To me, that does build a chemistry that does make me want to believe a little bit more in Cam Ward. And I'm a believer right now. Once again, week one, a week from tomorrow. Nonetheless, right now, he's doing everything right. I'm impressed.
Yeah, there's some people I've worked with for 15 years, and I don't know their names. And
good job.
And Ward, thank you. I know Dan Day. That's all that matters.
Good.
I know Dan. I know Len. I know Hawk. I sometimes know Crowder, but no. And you're talking about that thing with Ward. I know it's a little thing, but some of these little things make a difference. Mm-hmm. A couple of his teammates had told me, you know, during spring ball that he, you know, when he got to Miami in January and they started doing workouts, like off-season workouts, that he knew everybody's name, like including walk-ons, within 24 hours. Like he made a point to remember everybody's names. And again, I know that doesn't guarantee you a Heisman or anything like that, but I think it's little things like that help stamp your leadership on a program when you know the entire, you know, and there's like, including walk-ons, there's over 100 guys on the roster, and he apparently knew everybody within 24 hours.
Right, and to show the other side of the coin, since we're not going to be all sunshine pumpers, a lot of people are saying, oh, no, well, what about De'Aaron King? Everybody said De'Aaron King was the greatest quarterback, and he was going to come and save Miami, and he was okay for 1 year. So I do see the other side of it, but at least Cam Ward, it seems like he's making that effort, and he's got the track record, and you just have to believe right now, because if you don't believe right now, You don't really have that much, but we will see week one. That's what really counts. But at the same time, if you're telling me everything Cam Ward's done, do I like it? Do I not like it? I like it a lot. I like a lot of the things that he's doing.
By the way, we get this text from the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line that says, so the Palm Beach Post on Sunday had an article that ranked Mario Cristobal 6 of 7 Florida big school head coaches. Your thoughts? I don't even think the Palm Beach Post has a Miami beat writer anymore. It's like, you know, unfortunately, and I say this sincerely, it's unfortunate that newspapers are dying. And I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know who the Sun Sentinel beat is for Miami. Adam Lichtenstein and Jordan McPherson is now the Miami Herald Canes beat. I don't think the Sun Sentinel even has a Canes, or the Palm Beach Post even has a Canes beat writer anymore. So whatever article you read was either written by some dope who doesn't know anything about Miami, or it was probably some national article that they syndicated that, you know, and people obviously, Dan, like, people are going to dog Cristobal. Like, I love how they ignore the fact that this guy is building, you know, the deepest roster Miami's had in many years. They will completely ignore the fact that he turned Oregon into a two-time Pac-12 champion and had their roster loaded. Obviously, he didn't win a national championship. It wasn't perfect. But, like, all people remember is, oh, that's the guy that didn't take the knee. That's all they remember. They ignore what this guy does in recruiting and roster building. They ignore the success that he's had previously. And all they say is, well, the guy that didn't take the knee, he's 6 out of 7 coaches in Florida.
I like that.
It's low-hanging fruit.
Let's go ahead. For everyone right now that's saying he's 6 of 7 coaches in Florida, by name, I want you on the spot to rank them right now. Go. They can't do that. They know Billy Napier. Yeah. They know Mario Cristobal. And that's basically
I'm not even sure if I can name 7.
Exactly.
Like, I know.
Exactly. It's easy to say that. It's a cute little thing. It's a flashy thing to say. But on the spot, without looking things up, I know everybody is going online right now. I can name. No, you can't. Name them. Rank them. Name them. First and last name. Let me know. Like, you can't do it. And so it's flashy. It's cute. But it's not realistic. And so by the way, ask the other schools that they would trade for Mario Cristobal, and I guarantee they would.
Yeah, just for the recruiting part alone. I mean, the guy busts his butt like in ways you cannot even imagine. And the thing is, like, he enjoys that aspect of the job so much. Obviously, there are some coaches who do. I think, you know, Kirby Smart, I'm sure he loves recruiting. It seems like Ryan Day enjoys it at Ohio State. But, like, a lot of big-time college coaches just don't enjoy the recruiting part of it. But for Mario, like, he loves it. Like, he wakes up in the morning. He puts his loafers on. He's texting players. He's calling guys. He's setting up in-home visits. I was reading recently that that Deion Sanders has apparently never done an in-home visit. I think Deion Sanders' recruiting method is he asks somebody on his staff who's the number one guy at every position. All right, call him for me and tell him Deion Sanders wants you. That's how he recruits. Like, it's like Mario Cristobal absolutely loves it. And, you know, I've got a lot of respect for somebody on the text line accused me of dogging Florida State earlier. Like, I have a lot of respect for Mike Norvell, as he's a very good game day coach. Like, he's a great offensive tactician, very good game day coach, has had a lot of success in the portal. But, like, you can't tell me Mike Norvell enjoys high school recruiting the way that Mario does. I mean, he doesn't have there's a lot of other things that he compensates for that with, but that's not really part of his game that he really enjoys. All right, so before I spend the next 48 minutes talking Canes football, and man, I want to beat the Gators so badly. Before we do that, can we step into the day spa, Dan?
Always. Yes. Hawkins Barbecue Food Truck in Ireland. So if you're an FSU fan, maybe making the trip for tomorrow, or you're listening on the Odyssey app. Hawkins.
I know a guy over there, actually, who's there, big Florida State fan.
Yeah, I don't know any Georgia Tech fans out there. I'm sure the numbers are interesting.
I don't know any Georgia Tech fans.
Well, that's true, too. I don't know if I've ever met someone who's like, nah, man, GT for life. Like, no, I don't know. Nonetheless, Hawkins Barbecue Food Truck in Ireland is offering customers an option to buy Hangry Seagull insurance. You know, you get the food, you're out by the beach, the seagulls attack your food. Oh. You can buy the insurance. If they attack your food, you lose your meal, you can go back and they'll replace the meal.
That is fantastic. How much quid did they charge for that, whatever money they have over there?
I didn't see, but yeah.
Oh.
Angry
Susan. You know, it's funny because that's the sort of thing, like if I go to this food truck in Ireland and they're going to ask me, oh, would you like to add some of this insurance to it? I'd be like, that sounds like a scam. No way. No way. And then as soon as I sit down, Seagull swoops down, takes my, oh, I should have gotten the Seagull insurance.
Seagull insurance, it's real, man. It's a real thing right there. But yeah, no, apparently they have a hangry seagull problem. So therefore the insurance has been put into place. You feel terrible. Like you said, if you don't buy the insurance and then it gets your
yeah.
Well, I would say pub sub. There's no pub sub. But nonetheless, your barbecue brisket sandwich is just taken away. And then,
you know what, Dan? We should open a pub sub food truck in Ireland. We would make trillions.
That'd be crazy.
Could you imagine? Like, we don't even need the whole grocery store. I just need Publix to license us to open a food truck where we just serve pub subs.
We will revolutionize
that country.
I do have to ask you this, Dunno, and you've got a child, and I'm sure you go to Disney sometimes. Every
week, practically.
Have you ever bought that $10 slice of pizza, and maybe that slice of pizza, your kid maybe drops it on the ground? You put that 15-second, 20-second rule in there and say, uh-uh, no, we're eating that pizza.
Yeah. Oh, it's happened. It tends to happen more with things like ice cream and like ice cream cones. Mm. He's pretty clumsy with.
Yeah, it's hard ice cream, though. That's tough.
You can't really do a 5-second rule with ice because once the ice cream hits the floor, it's game over. Yeah.
Like, but I mean, a piece of pizza?
You can't salvage that.
A piece of pizza? Some chicken
nuggets? Like M&M's sometimes. I taught my son the 5-second rule at a very young age to the point where he thinks that there's actual science behind it. Like in real life, it's bro science. It's like, well, 5 seconds, you should be good, right? I don't think there's any empirical data to back that up. But I taught it to my son as if I was teaching him the theory of relativity. Like, this is completely scientifically accurate. So, yeah, he abides by the 5-second rule. It's probably why he gets sick all the time.
Oh, I was going to go the opposite way. I think it builds your immune system because you put...
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so.
Trust me, I put a lot of dirty food and drinks in my mouth. And, yeah, I'm pretty healthy for the most part.
I like that. I like that trip into the day spot. By the way, going back to this... Miami versus Florida matchup. I host Locked On Canes on the Locked On Podcast Network. And I'm actually pretty tight with Brandon Olson, who hosts Locked On Gators. But like my dude Olson, he has become like an enemy for Miami fans. Miami fans keep posting clips of his videos because he's talking about how Graham Mertz is better than Cam Ward. And he also He mentioned something the other day, Brandon, about how the humidity in Gainesville is going to help Florida beat Miami. It's like, hold on. Is there not humidity in Miami?
That's interesting.
That's going to be a Florida benefit?
Yeah, Graham Mertz. Please, if you're Billy Napier and you're listening right now, please play Graham Mertz the whole game. Please.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I expect, unless he stinks up the joint so much, they might put in DJ Lagway, the freshman. But I would expect Mertz to play the entire game, unless he's like completely stinking up the joint.
First 5-star recruit ever to go to Wisconsin. I was like, oh, Badgers got something going on. And he was absolute basura, and he has been bad at Florida. It's time to let that one go. But don't let it go until after week one, after the Hurricanes beat you, because Graham Mertz.
Right.
Nada. I don't think Florida fans are really caping up for Graham Mertz.
They are. What they cape up for is very, very high. And he does have a very high completion percentage, but you know, a lot of short set. And he does have a quick release, but like I don't know with Miami's pass rush against Florida's offensive line, which has been a problem area for them in fall practices. He's going to be throwing a lot of dinks and dunks, Dan. Like he's not going to have time to throw down the field to Eugene Wilson and Elijah Badger. I think there's going to be a lot of short stuff, and hopefully Miami just gobbles that offense up.
Yeah, Reuben Bain will have something to say about that. No problems.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. And by the way, so I know I feel bad by although he brought it on himself, but my guy Brandon from Locked On Gators has become an enemy to Miami fans. And I have him on the show on Locked On Canes pretty frequently. We are going to be doing from Gainesville next weekend, next Friday. We're going to do another crossover episode. So if you guys want to get ready to boo him, like in person, you could do that. And he enjoys being the villain. Let's connect with our guy, Joe Rose, when we come back. Joe, of course, he's going to be on the call tonight for the Miami Dolphins at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the final preseason game. We're going to dive deep on that roster with Joe. We're going to talk about the position battles, starting job battles. We'll talk a little bit about Tua versus Flores, which is still a thing in 2024. Dan Day is with me, by the way. I'm Alex Dono. We're in for Joe in Hollywood today. You know, I know that Mike McDaniel, you know, he brought up, you know, the pros for both Mike White and Skylar Thompson. You know, Mike White's got more of that regular season experience. You know, Skylar has gotten some spot work here and there, including starting for the Dolphins in the playoffs a couple years ago against Buffalo. He didn't do terrible, you know, given the circumstances. Who do you see winning that number two quarterback job? And obviously, if we just follow the trends of who's getting into games when, for what it's worth, Skylar Thompson has been the first backup quarterback in the game the past 2 weeks, including starting week one preseason.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with common sense, and I'm going to go with Mike White, because Mike White is the guy that you're paying. He is the guy that has a little more game experience. He is the guy that you brought in to be the number two. He is the guy that we're expecting. Of course, if Tua is out for the season, most teams, if your number one quarterback goes out for the season, you're pretty much done.
Yeah, your season's destroyed at that
right.
point.
He's the guy that seems like he can, you know, plug the hole in the dam a little bit better than Skylar Thompson. Both have been, I mean, I'll be honest, both have been pretty awful in this preseason. Yeah. I'm not going to mince my words and say, well, there's been... No, they've both been pretty awful. And I'm not just saying because they have not a lot of weapons to throw to. Their passes have been inconsistent and off. But I still think common sense says Mike White will be the guy that kind of, you know, keeps the walls up if Tua were to miss a game or two. I could be wrong, and yes, Skylar Thompson is the first two games been the quote-unquote starting quarterback, but I just have a feeling it's going to be Mike White in the end. I could be wrong, and like I said, nothing's pointing to that other than just my intuition, but yeah, I'm going to go with Mike White right now, and Skylar Thompson right now will be QB3, in my opinion. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can make an argument for Skylar because he was drafted by this regime, and just based on the way they've handled it to this point, they made sure to keep him on the active roster in the past, because if they had, you know, dumped him down to the practice squad, they would have lost him, or they couldn't put him in the practice squad. Like, I don't know, the way that they've handled Skylar with kid gloves to this point, I get what you're saying about Mike White is the guy that they paid to come in and be the number two last year, but then at the same time, I feel like there's a special devotion that they have to Skylar Thompson since they drafted him and developed him. Like, they've been developing him for this moment to possibly become the backup quarterback. I think he's got probably a higher ceiling maybe than White does, but White's got a higher floor. And I go back to something that you said, Dan, about what being a backup quarterback is really about. It's about keeping things together if you need to make a couple spot starts during the season. I mean, if you have like a season-ending injury to your starter, your season's probably over regardless, unless you have like a Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady situation from 20-some years ago, which is not an everyday thing in the NFL. But you're looking for a guy who could just keep the offense running for a little while if, God forbid, you do lose your starting quarterback for a couple of games. And maybe Mike White meets that criteria a little bit more. And this is something we're going to talk with Joe Rose about on who's going to be the backup there. But I don't know. I see the devotion that they have to Skylar Thompson, and it would not surprise me if he ends up being the guy there.
I understand that, and I'm out and about a lot, and I've had this for years. We cannot let Skylar Thompson go. He is going to be great. I was like, you said the same thing about Reed Sinnott. You said it over and over again. It's the same story. And now everyone that said, we can't let Reed Sinnott go, are they saying that now? Same thing with Skylar Thompson. Skylar Thompson has not shown me anything outside of preseason football that makes me go crazy. And I'm not saying Mike White does either. But for all the Skylar Thompson, the sky's the limit, all that stuff, I don't believe you. I just don't believe you. Reed Sinnott was a guy we couldn't let go. We could not let Reed Sinnott go. Look what he does. He's too good. Someone else is going to want him. Like I said, Skylar Thompson, if I'm wrong in 7 years from now he's an all-pro, I apologize. I'll admit I'm wrong. I just see Mike White as being the backup. That's who we pay.
I mean, I wish we drafted Brock Purdy, because he was drafted after Skylar in the seventh round. He was Mr. Irrelevant, and he's done pretty well for himself out there in San Francisco.
Yeah, we'll see. Once again, not sold on Brock Purdy either, so go ahead. Yeah. That's a Kyle Shanahan thing. That's the same thing they're doing with Brandon Ayuk. Like, are you that good?
Well, yeah, but I mean, are you in the system? Comes from the McDaniel comes from that coaching tree, though, and he comes from that system.
All right,
so
Tua Tagovailoa or Brock Purdy, who do you want?
Tua.
There you go.
But Skylar Thompson or Brock Purdy, who do you want?
Well, I've already made my
what I'm saying.
I made my opinions known about Skylar Thompson, so we'll go Brock Purdy.
Well, and I like something that reminds me more about how well Tua is doing. And of course, you know, he's only got the one preseason drive, but that was a perfect drive, right? And for anybody who can say, okay, well, it's easy to see why White and Skylar aren't looking that great when they come in, because none of the starting receivers are playing. Well, that drive that Tua played last week didn't have any of his starting receivers. No Waddle, no Hill, no Odell Beckham. I don't know when we're going to see Odell Beckham at this point with the way that recovery is going. But you know, Tua went out there with a makeshift receiver core, and the ball never touched the ground. 5 for 5, threw an absolute dime to River Craycraft for the touchdown. So, you know, I like that. And again, I don't want to go too crazy over one preseason drive, but again, he couldn't have done any better than he did in that one opportunity to get on the field so far.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.